Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, July 14th. I think we're going to get a big storm tonight, a big rainstorm tonight. It certainly looks that way. It's not the first nor the last time that it looks like rain and it doesn't rain. That happens a lot here, particularly in the summer. But I think all the forecasts are saying that we're going to get a big storm tonight, and that's going to be interesting because we've now had 3 out of the last 5 Sundays where we've had big storms that have just completely messed up our airport. People caught up in flight delays, people leaving Dallas, people arriving in Dallas. And this looking out the window looks to me like it could be one of those nights. Now, the last 3 times that we had this happen, it was combined with some very heavy winds. Tonight, it looks more like rain. So rain is probably a manageable situation at the airport. The last couple of times, you know, it was not a tornado, but it came pretty close to being here in the Dallas area. So we hope that if you're flying into Dallas or if you're flying from Dallas this Sunday evening, we hope that you get in and you get out on time. But I have a feeling that it may not be that way after all. Today, we've got a couple of topics we want to get into. We want to talk about these ICE raids that are happening as we speak, and they're happening all over the country, and they're being targeted, and they're underway. And I think that this is going to be a big story. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Democrats fighting each other. This is really beginning to look to me like a party that is just, you know, at war with each other. And we may look back. We may look back at this month as the month that the Democrats really lost the 2020 election. Let me begin, though, with a couple of memories that I have. And I think many of you of our generation may very well remember these two gentlemen that we're going to talk about. One is Jack Kemp, who was in many ways one of the great conservative leaders of the 20th century. Jack started out as a professional quarterback in the old American Football League. He played with the San Diego Chargers and I think also the Los Angeles Chargers. I think they went back and forth back then as well as they do now. And then he played with Buffalo. He was a pretty good quarterback, but you know, not the greatest quarterback of his time. He was a good one, though. He's a pretty decent quarterback, not a Hall of Famer, as far as I know, but a pretty decent quarterback. But it was after his playing days were over that he became a congressman in Buffalo and became one of the most successful and most respected members of Congress, representing basically a blue-collar district in Buffalo. And those were not the kinds of districts that Republicans represented back then. Those tended to be more what they called blue dog Democrats. But Jack Kemp went in there. He represented those districts. He became very active in the Reagan campaign in 1980 and became really one of the voices of the conservative movement during all of that time. All of this, of course, culminating with a cabinet position in the first Bush administration. And then when Senator Bob Dole ran for president in 1996, he selected Jack Kemp. At the time, he was no longer in Congress. He was now retired. But he selected then Secretary Kemp as the vice president. I was pretty excited about that. But unfortunately, that campaign didn't work out very well for the Republicans. But I've often wondered, what if Jack Kemp had run for president that year instead of Bob Dole, if Jack Kemp had been able to really go out there and push his ideas? I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have changed the result because Ross Perot was, you know, being the spoiler again in 1996. But I don't know. Maybe it could have, because Kemp was a very effective campaigner and he connected with parts of the country that back then Republicans did not connect with very well. So we remember Jack Kemp, who was born on July 14th, or July 13th, I should say, 1935, and passed away in 2009. We also remember President Ford, who became president of the United States in the strangest way when President Nixon resigned in 1974. President Ford had been a very big member of Congress. He had been one of the most powerful members of Congress, rising to minority leader in the Republican Party or in the House. He was sort of the number one Republican in the House. And then he was going to retire. He was going to retire after 1972. He was going to retire. But when President Nixon got in trouble with Spiro Agnew, the vice president, he asked Gerald Ford to become the vice president. He succeeded. He went through the confirmation. And then in August of 1974, he became the president of the United States when Richard Nixon resigned. And I think we all kind of know the story of what happened after that. He pardoned Richard Nixon, which turned out to be the right thing to do. But politically at the time, it was an unpopular decision that probably cost him the 1976 election. The 1976 election between Ford and Carter was very close, extremely close, but probably that pardon of Richard Nixon, as well as a little recession that the country was in 1976, probably cost him his full election to the president. So he retired in 1977 and was visible here and there and passed away in 2006. But I've always felt that the United States was very fortunate that Gerald Ford was around in August of 1974, because I cannot think of a better person to be president of the United States at the time of that crisis. It was not a constitutional crisis. That's not what we had. What we had was really a crisis of credibility with the resignation of President Nixon. And at the time, Gerald Ford stepped in. I think he calmed down the country. Everything went back to normal. And he was really, I think, in retrospect, a very important president in American history. We don't hear that much about him because, after all, he was only president for 2.5 years. He basically served out the second Nixon term. But I think had things been a little bit different, maybe he would have been elected in 1976. Who knows? It's all one of those what if, what if, what if. But I can tell you this is for sure. There's no question in my mind that he was a very good man, a very good president, and a very decent human being who I think the country was very fortunate, super fortunate, that we had him around in 1974 when the country needed somebody like Gerald Ford. And that's exactly what we got. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website on the show information. Click on that, and it'll tell you where he's playing every night during the week here in Dallas, Texas. Our good friend Carlos, we're very grateful to him for letting us use his music on the show. Well, a couple of big issues, a couple of big stories, as they like to say. The first one is that we are now conducting these ICE raids. ICE is running around the country, and they're looking for illegal immigrants who have refused to obey a court letter. Let me kind of set it up this way. These are people who have applied for consideration or for whatever from a court, and the court has said, we've heard your case, but we've declined your case, and you have to leave the country. Basically, they get a deportation notice. Many of these people are not respecting that notice. They basically get it in the mail, and they sit on it. Whatever they do, they don't leave the country. Well, that's, you cannot allow that in a country where the basis of the country is the rule of law. I mean, what if every American decided not to respect a court order? What if you got a letter in the mail from a judge and you just threw it away saying, I'm not going to pay attention to this? Well, I think you would get a visit from a policeman who would knock on your door and say, what's going on? Don't you read your letters? Don't you know you're supposed to do this? So I have no sympathy whatsoever for the people who are being picked up and will be deported by ICE. I think these people have had plenty of time to leave the country, and if they've chosen not to, that's their problem. And again, I think the president is right. And some of the things that some of these Democrats are saying about these raids, you know, that we're going to have, you know, separate family. No, we're not going to separate anybody. The people that we're picking up are people who have not obeyed the law. And again, you cannot live in a country where people obey the law and others do not. That is simply not a functional country. And I go back to what I said before. You know, when I get a letter about jury duty, I've got to respect it. I've got to do something. I've got to reply to it. And if I cannot go to jury duty, I'm going to have a problem with whatever jurisdiction I live in. If I don't reply to it, now I don't always go. Sometimes I reply saying, can I reschedule, please? And they usually give you an opportunity to reschedule. But, you know, when I go down to jury duty, and again, jury duty is simple compared to what we're talking about here, but I'm just making the point that you got to respect the law. When I go down to jury duty and I'm sitting there and the judge or whoever it is reading these names and these people are not there, believe me, these people are in trouble if they don't obey the law. So I have no sympathy whatsoever for people who choose or refuse to obey the laws of the United States. These people have had their day in court. This is due process, and it's time for them to respect the law. And if they're not going to, they're going to be picked up by ICE, and they're going to be deported. It's as simple as that. Now, I think moving on to another topic here of interest, I think we may look back at the middle of July 2019 and think of this as the month that the Democrat Party really blew up. And in many ways, the Democrat Party blew up whatever chance it had to win the 2020 election. Because what we're watching right now is just a total complete fight between Democrats. We're seeing Democrats, now they're calling Nancy Pelosi a racist. Some of these women in the House are calling Nancy Pelosi a racist because she's picking, I guess, on people of color or women of color, whatever that means. Look, I've never been a fan of Nancy Pelosi, but I don't think racism is Nancy Pelosi's problem. She's got a lot of problems, but racism is not one of them. She's not somebody, again, that I would vote for or support, but racism is not one of her problems. But that's what they're calling her now. They're calling her a racist. They're also having problems among themselves. You know, they're arguing about this and they're arguing about that. And I think there's a couple of things going on here in the Democratic Party, and that's why I say this could turn out to be the month that they really blow the election. First of all, in the name of diversity, in the name of identity politics, the Democrat Party have welcomed in all these people, all of these representatives who basically hate Israel and have no appreciation for the United States. How can anybody have any appreciation for the United States and turn around and call these detention centers in South Texas a concentration camp? If you have any understanding of history and if you have any understanding of the United States, you would not use the word concentration camp, but they did. They're using this word because they're ignorant, because they hate the United States, many of these new members of Congress. And the other problem, and this is, I think, a broader problem, not just these four ladies in Congress. The other problem is that I think they got so invested in this Mueller probe that now that the Mueller probe didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out, what you have right now is a bunch of people who are angry. They're basically a bunch of disappointed Democrats. They're shutting off CNN and they're turning on each other. And they're basically turning on their party leaders because the party leaders do not want to do impeachment. Why don't they want to do impeachment? Because the party leaders understand that impeachment is a bad way to go. They understand that impeachment is just going to destroy the Congress and make it impossible for them to get anything done. So I think that we may look back on election night 2020 at the middle of July 2019 when the Democrat Party just became undone, when it just basically blew itself apart. And I think they're also beginning to realize, by the way, that none of these people running for president have the ability to defeat Donald Trump. Look, Donald Trump has weaknesses. Donald Trump could be defeated, but none of these people are going to defeat him. Because they've gone too far to the left. And I think the lesson of the modern Democrat Party is you cannot go that far to the left. You simply cannot go that far away from the American people on issues like abortion and immigration and expect to win a national election. You can win districts, but you're not going to win a national election. And I think that's the lesson of what's happening in the Democrat Party. Thank you for listening. I hope you don't get rain here in North Texas tonight. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.